Think about the house that you live in. Like other houses, it has, you know, walls and floors, a roof and windows, and everything else that makes it a house. But to you, it's more than just a house, right? It's more than just those walls and the floors and the windows and whatnot. It's your home. And you don't just live there, you dwell in it. And that's a phrase we don't hear much today, but to dwell means, when we dwell in something, it means exactly that. It means to make it our home. Now think about how that is done. How do you transform a house that you simply live in into a home that you dwell in? Well, you can start by painting the walls maybe a certain color, putting down some carpet or hardwood, picking out just the right furniture and the style of kitchen, hanging those nice pictures on the walls, maybe some of those family ones on tables, even the really embarrassing ones. We all have some of those. Maybe even a grill on the back deck. I mean, it is football season, right? Got to have that. But the key to all of it is doing it with loving care for your home and, more importantly, for the people who dwell there. People who dwell in relationships with one another and caring for the house that has become their home. All of this together helps to create that all-important environment within your home, an environment that says we are family, bound together in an unbreakable covenant of caring for one another and for the home that we dwell in. When God created Adam and Eve, he did something first. He created a home for them, and after creating them, gave them the task of making it their home. That's what the whole "be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it" is all about, making it their home. We were all made to transform the places we live in into homes that we dwell in. And we do this by loving one another and caring for the home that God has blessed us with. And most of us by now have heard something about our Holy Father's new encyclical, Laudate Si, caring for our common home. It is a wonderful encyclical, and yes, it's on the environment, but it's not just the environment, at least not what we usually think of when we hear the word environment. We think of trees and water, earth and sky, and how we all need to keep it clean. Well, the Pope talks about that, but he talks about a whole lot more. He talks about broadening our understanding of that word environment to mean not just the created world, but all people who live within this created world, living their lives, relating to one another, and from that, interacting with the world that they live in, the created world. The same world that God has given all of us as a gift to be our home that we dwell in together. You can probably see why I started this homily the way I did. I was taught to do this in Dinky class. Pope Francis wants everyone to see this created world as God meant it to be, our common home, and not just a house that we all live in. And he wants us to see the urgent need that we have today to treat it like our home, and more importantly, to treat one another as family members bound to one another and to this common home in a covenant of care, responsibility, and good stewardship. Sounds familiar? All three of our readings today relate to this encyclical. In the first reading, we hear the prophet Amos chastising the affluent Israelites for trampling upon the needy and destroying the poor of the land. Pope Francis talks a lot about the poor in this encyclical and how they are the ones today as well who suffer the most from the damage done to the environment. And that's the physical as well as the social environment. For instance, air pollution from industrial nations contaminates the water and the air, causing serious health problems in the poor, even maternal deaths. Now, they don't have the means like we do of protecting themselves from this. They can't go down to the local grocery store and maybe get some water. They have to take what they have. Another form of pollution that affects them is what the Pope calls social pollution. And an example of that is the so-called family planning programs, which simply mean abortion, contraception, and sterilization, that targets the poor especially. Everything God created, He created to exist in a harmonious, life-giving order, in a covenant of mutual care and support. Human beings with each other, Adam and Eve being the first, and then with the created world that He gave us to be our home. Sin, in the form of greed and selfishness, indifference, and a sense of entitlement, directly goes against that order. Like a pebble tossed into a still and tranquil pond, its effects ripple outward, disrupting the whole tranquility and stillness of that pond. All lifestyles, for better or for worse, have an effect within the physical and the social environment others live in. And in a highly individualistic society like our own, we don't always see or even believe the extent to which this happens. But it does happen, and it happens on a daily basis. Both the physical and the social environments are integrally related, as the Pope says, meaning each one depends critically upon the other. If one is suffering and in crisis, the other is as well, and that is where we find ourselves today, in crisis, an environmental crisis. And by that, the Pope means a crisis in our own lives and in our relationships with one another, and in this created world, our common home that God has given all of us to dwell within together. He says there is an urgent need for conversion of hearts, from treating the created world and each other as simply a means to an end, as we heard in our first reading today, to acknowledging and respecting the God-given dignity of both and the inner law that He has placed within the created world and within ourselves that governs both rightly. In the other two readings, our Lord shows us the way out of this crisis. In the first letter to Timothy, St. Paul tells us that prayer in the form of supplications, petitions, and thanksgiving be offered for everyone, especially for kings and all in authority, that all may lead quiet and tranquil lives in all devotion and all dignity. We need to pray. We need to pray for each other, but more importantly, we need to pray for those in positions of authority who have the power and the responsibility to make changes where changes are needed, particularly in government, business, academia, and the media. In the gospel, which if we take it at face value can be a little confusing, I have to admit, our Lord instructs us to be good stewards of the resources He has placed in our care, being prudent and trustworthy with plenty of foresight and determination. Crises rarely go away by themselves. It takes this good stewardship on our part, doing little things like recycling, driving our car less, spending less time on our eye gadgets, Those are our iPhones and iPads. And more time in actually conversing with others. How many times have you seen people in restaurants? They're facing each other, but they're doing this. I assume they're communicating with each other. The Pope calls that a form of pollution. You have to read the encyclical to understand that. But there's another thing. Use less water. You know, take a shower every other day. Now, some of you I know already do that. You know, the Pope said once that for the clergy to really get involved with their parishioners more, and what the term they used was, get to know the smell of the sheep. So it's kind of a new way of looking at that. He must have a very good smelling system. But here at St. John Newman, I think some of you have already heard, we are attempting to take some of these steps to be more responsible for our own parish home, and with the hope that you will be encouraged to do the same in your own homes, so that all of us can do our part in caring for each other and this beautiful world God has given all of us to dwell in together as our common home.